don't run from the truth. We don't fake the healing. It's a revolution now, and you're invited.
Don't hold it in.
Let's go. We healing that shit.
Yes. Hey, y'all. What's up? Welcome to Life Unfiltered. Heal that shit. Okay. We are launching into this new year of 2026, y'all, and amplifying the things that we have learned when it comes to transformation. This is not just a podcast anymore. This is a revolution in healing. All right. So whether you are a longtime listener or this is your very first episode, get ready for some life-changing conversation.
Yes, indeed, because we've learned something powerful over the past year and some change. Glory. When we share our truth, we give others permission to do the same. We've created this space, folks, for the truth seekers, the change agents, and anyone ready to do the work. Because let's be honest, real change happens when we stop hiding and start healing.
So whether you are here to work through your own journey or you are here to learn from ours, you are in the right place. We are about to get real, get deep, and most importantly, get some results.
Okay, so let's buckle up, strap in, grab your favorite drink, and let's heal this shit together.
Yes. So what's up, y'all? My name is Kim Berland Jackson. I am an educational advocate, activist and consultant, a visionary and motivational speaker, virtual producer, network executive. I am a scientist, specifically a biologist, and I'm also an intuitive melanated life coach. I help people deepen their personal relationship with God in order to understand their unique design and purpose and positively impact the world. I'm also a professional frolicker, currently living in Medellin, Colombia, and I am a host and podcaster and excited to be here with y'all. So what up?
Yes, indeed. What up, though? What up? Another air horn for the scientists. Come on. Well,
it was an extra horn from outside that.
I heard it. Even the horn out there. Come on. Tutu. Okay. So my name is Bianca Goolsby. I am a digital strategist, a consultant, an education activist, and a certified snitch.
Snitch.
Yes, indeed. MSGA, baby. I am an investigator and a receipt collector. So put some respect on my name. Okay. I operate with receipts because people are receipts, don't. Mm-hmm. I am the founder of Teaching for the Culture, where we transform, we empower, we advocate, we coach, and we heal. And I'm also an intuitive melanated life coach and a digital nomad, currently working and traveling wherever there's Wi-Fi. And currently my feet are planted in Santa Marta, Colombia. My purpose is to empower folks to find their own path to freedom and fulfillment and to be able to do that fearlessly. Okay? Yes, indeed. In this space here, okay, in this space here, we operate by the three keys: accountability, transparency, and integrity. And it's very, very important that we all understand and operate by these three keys to make the world a better place. And before we go even further, we just want to make sure that we have clear understandings about expectations and what you can expect from us and what we expect from you. So what you can expect from us: to honor the three keys, we are going to keep it real. We're going to speak freely. We're going to cuss if and when we feel like it. So if you have little listeners, maybe you need to have some headphones, some AirPods, maybe not. That's your business. But we are going to speak freely in this space. So we tell that for transparency. And what we expect from you: hate speech, hate comments, not over here. We proudly serve on the Block and Be Blessed ministry. So we want you to engage with intention and to go on this journey with us, because we have a lot to share. We are not expert in all things, but we are definitely experts in the lanes that we are in. So we want you to participate on this journey with us and bring people with you, because together we are doing the work to heal.
Yes. So before we get into the things, we want to make sure that you all know how to interact with us in these spaces. And we live kind of like in this emoji world, right? So we have a collective emoji here at the Heal That Shit universe, and that is the heart with the bandage wrapped around it. That's how we know that you are uniquely a part of this universe that we have over here. So anytime you are feeling something that we're talking about, or it's like all of that showing love, you can drop that heart into the chat if you are here during the live premiere, or you can leave us those comments if you are watching this during the replay. It resonates as if you are just shining love in our direction. We feel it that way. All right. So in addition to our collective emojis, we also have individual emojis. So my emojis are the sunflower and the crayon. The sunflower because my favorite color is yellow. It reminds me of the sun. It brings me joy. And sunflowers are the symbol for invisible disabilities. And as someone who is neurodivergent and figuring out what that means every single day, I'm becoming a fierce advocate for those of us who live with things that you may not be able to see on the outside. All right. And sunflowers find the sun. And that is something that I am trying to be intentional about doing, even as things might be cloudy and crazy outside. Where is the sun? Where is the brightness that is a part of that? And then the crayon, because there was a time in my life where everything was very black and white, and I made a conscious decision to color the fuck out of my life. Insert the crayon. So that manifests through making bold choices and choosing color and choosing the things that bring my spirit joy with intention, and really leaning into the things that bring me pleasure and the things that make me smile. So those are my emojis. If you will please tell them yours.
With pleasure. So let me tell you something. If it was cooler here, I would have been in my teddy bear armor of God. Okay, please be clear. And I actually got another one. I sent Kimberlyn a picture, so excited about my onesie that I got. And I can't wait to wear it, but it needs to be cooler in order for me to do that. So in honor, I do have my hat to represent the teddy bear. Let me tell you, so I am just full of love. I am at a place of just peace. And even when life be lifing and people be peopling, I just know that love is the highest frequency, that I'm going to be able to give that, receive that. And that is the whole mantra for me and has been. And so the teddy bear is a symbol of love, a symbol of also don't try it, but also I am here. I am just wanting to give love, receive love, because love is the highest frequency. The hands that form the heart. So let me just say that I even have my own travel set, thanks to my bonus mom that made sure that I had one. So I travel with it. It's not fully unpacked yet, but for the next show, I will definitely show it and have it on my desk for recording. But that symbol means everything to me, as I am still navigating heart failure, still navigating having a pacemaker, still navigating the complexities of the U.S. healthcare system where I still do not have a cardiologist in Tallahassee, Florida, which my insurance say that's where I have to go and anywhere else is out of network. So I say all this to say that the hands that form the heart, I'm very transparent about my journey. And this month is Heart Month, Heart Awareness Month. And I just cannot let another day go by without acknowledging some of the amazing medical staff at TGH that saved my life. I would not be here having these conversations with you if it wasn't for the rigorous procedure that they did to save my life and to help me continue to have my heart functioning. Okay. So please understand that when I'm talking about stress and when I'm talking about protecting your peace, I am an embodiment of that because of the work that I would do, because of how I would show up and how I want to people please and to be that person for everybody. I can't do that, and neither can you. And it is very important to be intentional with your pace, how you are positioning yourself, and what all you're giving to the world, because it's only one you. You are one of a kind. And again, your heart. Stress is one of the silent killers out there. So please be intentional with your stress levels and the people that are in your village and orbit that contribute to stress, and just be mindful of that. So those are my emojis, the teddy bear and the hands that form the heart.
Amen. And thank you for those reminders. I think a lot of times we are not aware of the amount of stress that we're under and how that can impact us. And again, one of those silent killers, right, hanging out in the background. So thank you for reminding all of us to be intentional with the ways that we're showing up and the people that we have around us. So a quick reminder that we are streaming on YouTube as well as on audio platforms. So if you want to catch us in the visual format, please come over to YouTube, Life Unfiltered, Heal That Shit, and you'll be able to see when Bianca talks about her hat versus her armor that she might be wearing. You can see like what we're talking about here. So over on YouTube, you'll be able to get all of the visuals. If you are wanting to hang out with us in the audio space, we're everywhere that podcasts are available. So whether that be Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, all the places that the podcasts are, please do connect with us there. And then we also invite you to go to our website, WeHealThatShit.com, where we have resources available and downloads, and you're able to join the mailing list and you can remain connected to us there, because we also don't know how long these virtual platforms going to be here. All right, because shit's popping and changing every single day. Okay. So those are our announcements. Please govern yourselves accordingly to those announcements. All right. So let's go ahead and get into our spirit check. And our spirit check is the time of the episode where we take some intentional time to actually search our spirits and do a body scan and kind of think about where we are, how things are feeling within our current worlds. And we do that using a color system. So I'm going to share it on the screen again for those of you who are looking visually. If you are listening, then I will explain what we are looking at here on the screen. So we have four colors that we use. The first is green. I'm absolutely wonderful. Life is great. Blue, I'm good. I don't have any complaints. Purple, I'm okay. Things could be better. In yellow, I'm not doing so well. I need support. So we are going to model what that looks like and sounds like and all the different ways that you can configure this and how you can respond to this. We invite you, again, if you're watching during the live premiere, to answer the poll question that we have here for you to kind of just take a moment. You can also put the colors into the chat. If you're watching the replay, feel free to make a comment and share with us how your spirit is feeling in this moment as you are here. All right, so I'm going to kick this off today. And let's see. Last show, I kind of had like a paint splatter type of situation configuration, if you will. I don't necessarily know if that equates today, but I do want to kind of put some colors on the things. So I just had a birthday and I am now 45 years old, which is wild. That's crazy as hell to think that I've been here for 4.5 decades on this planet. But I very much feel in my body of bodies and my state of mind, I'm pretty solid blue. I'm good. And I am grateful to be here for another year. And I feel a shifting in the atmosphere and in energy and all that kind of stuff right now, which kind of keeps me in this I'm good place. But there's a lot of purple and gold that is in the background, a lot of uncertainty that is present in my life right now, and a lot of shifts, if you will, that are happening that I'm trying to be prepared for without even knowing what those shifts might be looking like, and just trying not to lose my shit in the middle of all the things. So that's kind of interesting as well. So if I had to put that into a configuration, what might that look like? I think I'm almost kind of seeing. So it's not like a wind chime, but like it's like the spiral they catch the wind though, and like it's a spiral and it'll like spin faster, like as the wind is going. I don't know what it's called. Maybe y'all could tell me in the chat or in the comments if you know what I'm referring to. But in that spiral, I feel like it spirals blue. Like you see the blue spiral, but then once it slows down, you start to see the purple and the gold. But while it's actively spinning, it just looks very blue. It's not until things slow down that the purple and the gold kind of is able to be seen. So that's what it feels like. It feels like I'm kind of in a blue state for the most part. But then when I sit down and I start thinking about things or I start, you know, unpacking some stuff, then that purple and gold is like, girl, we here, girl. We here, girl. Yes, we are here. So yeah, that's what things are feeling like for me right now.
So think about a canvas and me drawing an actual heart on the canvas. The heart is a vibrant blue mixed with green. Like it's a mixture of those two things. On the outside, there's like gold speckles that represent the I'm not doing so well, I need support. The background of the painting is purple. And so the outside factors that are outside of the internal piece of me is purple with the yellow / gold spots. But the actual heart is a very, very vibrant blue and green mixed together. So when I'm like thinking about a visual representation of that, it is that painting that looks like that. And it makes me want to get a canvas and actually make it and have that be one of the projects that I do to decompress if I don't decide to color first.
Yeah, as you were describing it, I was saying to myself, that sounds like a nice image to like actually construct and paint. Painting is something that I have been trying to get myself to a place to do for almost a month now, and I have not yet gotten there, but definitely feeling that imagery for sure. So again, we invite you all to take a moment and think about where things are in your space, in your world, in your orbit, and feel free to respond to us and let us know You can add detail if you would like, but it's really up to you how you want to represent that. Okay. All right. So having said that, let us dig a little bit deeper into our transparency moment. So it would be on you to start this week. And I know you have had some transitions and things. You just mentioned that you are back here in Colombia. So what's happening in your world?
Whew. So before I get to Colombia, I want to unpack my experience in the States. So being in the States for the work assignment has been a blessing, be able to provide impact to not just one businesses, but multiple businesses and organizations has been amazing. To be able to order the things that I need and for it to come timely, that has been an experience that I haven't had in quite some time. Being able to connect with those that I love and also having some very tough conversations with folks that say that they love me, but their actions were not representative of that. And just being the, it is what it is. There's no hard feelings, but this is where I am going moving forward. Has been such a revealing and opening journey that I really, truly haven't fully unpacked just because I'm literally still unpacking as I am now in Santa Marta, Colombia. Me and Kalanda went to visit Santa Marta, Colombia some time ago, and we really enjoyed it. However, our time in Santa Marta was very short. And one of the goals that we had was to come back to visit and to spend more time. And so here we are. We didn't necessarily anticipate the different roadblocks and issues that happened prior to us getting here, but thankfully we are here. We have such an amazing Airbnb host. He has taken the initiative to do so many things and make so many accommodations for us. That has been such a blessing to be able to walk into a space, get a tour, know where everything's at, build relationships with people have been amazing. And historically, we've always had some type of debacle as it relates to Airbnbs and just things not being what it is or the listing not aligning with what the photos and all of that. So it has been amazing to get here, even the travels to get here. We ended up not even knowing when we were booking flights that we actually connected in Panama, and our flight from Panama to Santa Marta was the same flight. So I ended up changing my seat so that I'm able to sit next to Kalanda, and we were able to ride to Santa Marta together on the same flight. Again, not anything that we anticipated or planned. It just happened. And it was just amazing to be able to walk into immigration and to not have a problem, to be able to get that stamp on the passport and to just continue to move along in the path just has been a different experience for me personally as I'm navigating these different borders. So I am very happy and thankful that we are here in Santa Marta. It is beautiful. We went to the beach yesterday. I took some amazing photos and videos. I ended up making an investment. I got me a new camera just because the camera that I had was so large and bulky that I ended up getting a very pocket-sized camera that I could take with me and be able to vlog the journey. So very, very thankful for that. I am a little disappointed with my glasses though. However, I purchased smart glasses thinking that it would be able to help with AI translation with the language barrier. And I think I had shared with the last episode with my dealings with Peru, I felt like I needed to get some type of accommodations as it relates to something so it could transcribe in my ear so that I could better get acclimated with the language as it has been a struggle for me. And I'm not necessarily satisfied with the glasses just yet, but I know it's going to take some time and training just for it to get acclimated. But Kalanda did buy a headset that connects, and it did a really, really good job, better than my glasses actually, of picking up what is being said. So it was very helpful to communicate with other people and to build those relationships because that's important. So that was a lot as it relates to the transition from the States to being here. And I know you probably have some clarity questions here, so I'll put a pin here for that.
Yeah, definitely. So I'm curious about, I'm curious about your relationship with the States and the U.S. You mentioned a moment ago that health insurance and needing to remain tied, if you will, to Tallahassee. I'm curious about now that you've been, so how long did you wind up being in the States altogether? Do you remember?
I want to say it had to be around two and a half months.
Yeah, almost 3 months. So being back in the States after having been away, and I know you've been back more frequently than Kalanda, definitely more frequently than myself. What are you seeing as your relationship with the States these days?
So the belief of the quote unquote American dream, where this is the best country to be able to have access to X, Y, and Z. Just because I've had experience going to other places and seeing other things, I know that that's not true. So I'm not holding to the propaganda that everywhere else is a third world country, which I've had to have a lot of unpacking conversations with folks that are not necessarily, I'm not saying that they approve, disapprove, but there's just a lot of questions about my lifestyle, as if there's an issue with not wanting to purchase a home and to build a family in the United States. And like, there's something wrong with me because I don't desire that, to where then questions of, well, are you safe? And it's like, I actually feel safer in some of the other places that I've been than in the United States. It's been interesting. But just even financially, the rat race, like I see it. I see the necessity that folks are balancing multiple jobs just to make ends meet, because the things are rising in so many ways, from food to healthcare to technology to name it, and it's gone up in some type of capacity. And it is not sustainable. Politics aside, and politics is a big factor in all of this. And with my work, as you know, I'm deeply entrenched with the political world and have worked with political candidates and et cetera, et cetera. It is very demoralizing for some of those individuals that go into those spaces knowing that they actually really don't have power and that they're doing the best that they can, but it's not going to actually change anything. My relationship with the States is very much, I come here to have a landing pad, which is my parents' house in Tallahassee. Very much, they call it like a storage unit. That's fine. But I'm going to go to my storage unit, lay in my bed, and have the things that are important to me and not having to carry them across the world. And that is nice to have that. Outside of that, and seeing the people that I love there, like my family, I'm very much divested from a lot of the things that I used to hold on to and the beliefs that I've had about the country. So very much just unlearning and continuing to recognize and realize that this American dream that has been sold of, you know, just buy a house and build a family and have a stable career and all of that, like, it's not it. It's not it. And maybe it is for you, and you being someone that's listening, but it's not for me. And I've just had to have some really hard conversations and deal with some really hard truths, as you would say, radical acceptance of what is and what it is not going to be and how it's not sustainable. So it seems like it won't ever be. And just realizing that I have to find my own freedom and fulfillment wherever I go. And even when I'm in the States, still trying to find my freedom and fulfillment in that, knowing that I'm not truly free and knowing that staying there and feeling like I'm stuck there is not going to give me fulfillment.
when you mentioned a couple of times, like you've had to have some difficult conversations and things like that. So I'm curious if there were moments along the way that made you be like, yeah, I got to get the hell up out of here. Like, I cannot do this. Because I know for myself, the last time that I was in the U.S., I was in Miami. And I had several experiences on that trip where I was like, yeah, no, I can't do this. So I'm curious if you have encountered things like that.
Yeah. I just see the stress that a lot of people are under in the States. And with that stress comes behaviors and things that also exist. So just the unkindness in the States, some people would hardly look up as they're looking on their phone. And in some cases, it was a hazard because it's like, so you just walking across the street looking at your phone, not being cognizant of where you are or the amount of people that you are impacting by that decision that you are doing, looking at your phone or driving while you're on your phone, swerving from lane to lane, or the road rage that exists on the road. Like you... Thankfully, I usually keep myself in a container, if you will, where I don't necessarily have a bunch of people or stimuli, but like going to the grocery store and seeing how frustrated people are and seeing how it's not necessarily a pleasurable experience going to the store or walking around to just seeing the trash that is just left behind where... In places that I've lived, like there's people sweeping the street and they take pride in their roadways to not let it look like that. I saw an individual go in the trash can of our Airbnb, and a couple of nights prior we had Mr. and Mrs. Krabs, and to see that he had grabbed the Mr. and Mrs. Krab bag to just eat the leftovers of what we didn't eat. Seeing that broke my heart so much because you never know truly what a person is going through and what they have to do to sustain themselves in this world. And I just witness people that are just struggling, in pain, stressed out to keep up with the rising cost of things, just so that we can make the billionaires and the folks that actually hold the power more comfortable. And that's not okay.
Yeah, I definitely, I've started to see like the underbelly, if you will, of Colombia moving back into the city. I've been exposed to a lot more people who might be in those situations and conditions of desperation and things. So I know it's not just in the U.S., but I think something that is interesting is the access to food and like how far off that access might be. So like where I live, just a couple streets over, there's always somebody who has fresh fruit or something that you can buy for a minimal amount. So whether that be fruit or juice or potatoes, or like there's something that people are able to get and access. And what I hear in the U.S. is that access to things like food is increasingly becoming more and more difficult. So I definitely can understand that. You mentioned driving. Do you miss driving? Like, do you feel like you still enjoy driving? Because I know for me, it's not something that I ever want to have to do again. So I'm just curious about, you know, what that looks like. Because, of course, when you're outside the country, you're not driving. So, and you mentioned road rage, too. So what is that like?
Yeah, that's a great question. I like driving my car because I have done things to my car to make my car enjoyable. But I don't necessarily see myself or desire to drive a bunch of places, very much passenger princess vibe, even though me and Kalanda will go back and forth about who is truly the passenger princess here. But very much I'm a passenger princess at this point. The only way that I'll drive nowadays is if I have control of the situation and I'm in my vehicle. Other than that, I'm not interested.
Yeah, I don't see myself ever wanting to drive again. Like, I'm good on that. And even owning a car, like, there's so much that comes with owning a car and maintenance and thinking about, like, all these. And, like, I don't have to think about any of that stuff anymore. And I'm just really grateful that I don't have to. So I'm always curious about that when people go back, because the culture in the U.S. is you have to have a car. And especially in places like Florida, things are so spread out, so it's really difficult to be able to use public transportation, and sometimes it don't be there or it turns off at a particular time or what have you. But I'm always curious about that, because for me, it's like, I'm good. I don't ever need to do that again. I don't even know if I remember how to drive, and if I want to remember how to drive, I don't know. So you mentioned coming in to Colombia was pretty seamless. So you didn't have any difficulties at immigration or anything like that?
Nope. Smooth process.
Yeah, that's a blessing. Did you feel like you were kind of on edge when you were going up to the immigration process?
For sure. For sure. My experience in Peru definitely has me high alert to a lot of different things that I necessarily didn't have the awareness of unless you actually go through that experience. So, yes, mm-hmm. I was very much high alert, but everything was very, very smooth. And then I went to the immigration officer first. There was only four windows, mind you, so it wasn't a major immigration stop in Santa Marta like it mm-hmm. would be in Medellin. But mm-hmm. I went to the window. I was fine. And then I was moved along to then I'm watching Kalanda, and then they're like having conversation back and forth. And then I got anxious and was like, okay, like, is everything okay here? Like, is she going to experience, like, what's she going to experience?
Right.
So then she finally was able to move through, and then we were able to go down together. So very much high alert as it relates to the process, just because of my experience.
Yeah. But grateful that went smoothly, because I definitely know the type of PTSD that can come from that and not even having experienced everything that you've experienced. But there's no guarantee that you're going to get into any country like at any time. And so I think a part of understanding our quote unquote American privilege is also understanding that we're not guaranteed to be able to be anywhere. So moving with that type of intention and that type of humility, as opposed to what you mean, like, I belong here, you know, and that's, I think, a different type of way to be able to move, because we're just not conditioned to operate that way in the U.S. But I'm grateful that things went smoothly, because y'all needed that for sure. And so what are you looking forward to now that you are in Colombia and in Santa Marta? You mentioned you went to the beach and you've got your new vlog camera. So do you have things already in your mind that I want to make sure we do this? I've never been to Santa Marta, so I don't really know what's there besides the beach.
So one of my action items is to get on a boat and twerk and make sure that I have a video of me twerking on a boat. So
okay,
that's coming soon. Videos to come for sure. Outside of just being able to see water and to be able to get my goals completed, that's just where I'm at. Like, I'm just locked up with not only going back to the eight pillars that we talk about here on the show. Like, I got my financial goals. I have my physical goals with my weight and all of that. And very much, like, locked up with making sure that I am honoring the three keys along the way, that I'm being the best human that I can be, and to really enjoy the journey. So I feel like this is a great restart, if you will, a great start of a new chapter, being in a new area, new country. And I'm really, really excited for what's to come. particularly with the layout of this Airbnb and getting it like a home and starting to unpack and getting acclimated. It feels really, really good to just kind of sit here, even though it's a little hot in this particular space at this moment. But I know that this is going to be one of the spaces that I continue to create content and have that space to be able to have these virtual experiences to do the things that God has called me to do.
Yeah, that's what's up. So y'all are in full on summer beach mode. How does that feel being back from it being so cold in the States?
It's an adjustment for sure, because when we were in the States, it was like a freeze warning. It snowed in Tallahassee. What is happening here? Yes.
Like actual snow stuck to the ground,
like
snow?
Like flurries, like.
Wow.
Now, it didn't stay like long on the roadway, so it's not like, you know, driving in snow, but to see the grass all covered in white, and it was white, you know, that's interesting, you know, that's interesting for sure. So being where it was at one point, like the low 30s, I'd be like, oh my gosh. To now, it is currently 84 degrees, and I am currently in this space, and I am just sweating. I am pretty much half naked. I have a little onesie jumper on with this little fabric of clothing on, and I'm like ready to like put on a bathing suit and go downstairs to the pool. That's the type of vibe that I'm on. Like, I love hot weather. I love being near the water. It works for me, but bundling up and talking about some snow and the pipes freezing and just all that, I'm so glad that I don't have to do that. And I feel so bad for the folks that were in other states that their whole process and their way of work was completely halted because even the power grids weren't working effectively because of the snow and the transportation of people getting to where they needed to go to. One of my clients had to shovel snow just to get their car out of their garage. Like, mainly. I've had the privilege to not have that experience, and I don't want it. So kudos to them to be able to do that. But no, I'm great. I'm great where I'm at.
Yeah, it's definitely, I forget, like every time I talk to somebody who's in the States and I'm like, usually I have on some kind of tank top or something, you know, that's my everyday attire, honestly, a tank top and leggings. But I'll talk to people and they're like bundled up and I'm like, oh, it is cold there. Like, I forget all the time because it's springtime here. And even when it is a little cool, it's more like, oh, let me just put on a sweater today, you know, but I'm not like bundled up. So thinking about that type of cold weather, get me out of here. Like, I don't want no parts, no parts
what
of that.
Oh, my God. No way.
No way.
That's wild. That's wild. Well, I'm glad y'all got out and in. And I'm excited to see what kind of content that you're going to have a chance to create and just having some time to just be for a moment. I definitely know for myself, I definitely am like, I just want to just be. Because there's a lot, you know, with so much transition and then having been in the space where you had to like go into an office and like actually be around people that you didn't necessarily choose to be around. And so I'm wondering now the other side of this, if there were like certain boundaries that you felt like you needed to put into place or like certain things now that you've had that experience that you're like, I want to be intentional about doing this or not doing this.
So the driving almost 45 minutes to and from the office while it made sense financially and have a car that will be able to do that with ease. Someone who wasn't a passenger princess in this particular situation, I'm not doing that again. So that would be having stipulations of location to where we can be more accessible to the office without having such a long haul. I know that there are some people that are used to that and accustomed to that, but I am accustomed to having a private driver, whether that's through Uber or someone that I know personally to take me places. I'm not accustomed to the commute to work anymore. And it was cute at first until there were some trips that I had to take where it was like, oh my gosh, I done worked so long in this office. I'm here after 8 o'clock. Where people are gone doing things to their computers. And now I have to make this long haul to the Airbnb. And sometimes that wasn't fun. Although we did have car karaoke, there's some content that was recorded in that process to make some of those trips more enjoyable. But overall, I'm not going to do that. As it relates to my working relationship and patterns, I know that I get overstimulated. I recognize it, and I know that the moment that I have to do that, I have to pivot. So one of the things that I started to do towards the latter end of it was going to the library. The library is one of the most underutilized resources, I feel. But I was able to go to the library, request a private room. I was able to have access to that room for 2 hours. There's no one else in there, no one bothering me anything, and to be secluded in that space doing whatever it is that I needed to do. In some cases, it was recording content, having meetings, or just being deep in work with my headphones on, minding my own business. So most definitely more trips to the library if I need to just kind of get away, just kind of take some space from the people, because it is a very busy office and one of the clients that I work for. It is a lot of moving parts and a lot of things going on, but it's not just them. Be clear that there's other entities and organizations that I work for where their environment is very much the same of a lot of high energy, a lot of people moving around and here to help and to serve in the capacity that God has it for me. But again, being more mindful of when I know that I'm getting overstimulated, not to do that, oh, I'm going to just push through and get through it, but actually like recognize the sign that my body is giving me and to pivot and do what I need to do to stabilize my nervous system, because I don't perform as well when I'm overstimulated. And that's something that I've learned.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, what signs do you feel happen in your body that let you know that you're overstimulated? Because I think earlier, like when you were mentioning road rage and like people being frustrated and all of that, I think sometimes we struggle to know, oh, I'm overstimulated right now and I need to do something to regulate myself. So what are some of the things that would happen in your body that would make you say, I need a minute?
So one of the main indicators for me is my foot will start to vibrate. So
your
when
foot
I'm
vibrates?
Sitting, my foot vibrates.
Okay.
So I'm sitting stable and then my leg is going up and down. And then because of that, there's vibrations with my foot because it's going from heel to toe as I'm moving my leg. So like not being able to sit still. I'll say plainly is one of the things, like not being able to sit still. I do have like a lot of mechanisms where I like to move with my hands and my fingers. So if I'm like feeling like I'm like moving a lot, my body moves a lot. And that's when I know like, okay, I'm doing a lot with my hands. There's a lot happening with my feet right now. So those are like the things that happen in my brain space. A good way to describe that is everything is calm and everything is cool and then it's not. And then I'm forgetting what I had literally just said that I was going to do, or I lost track of what I intentionally just said. I'm stumbling on my words and I can't fully articulate what I am trying to say. That is also for me an indication that I'm going to have to stabilize my nervous system because I'm unable to fully process what's happening and I'm stumbling over my words and my brain space feels chaotic.
So do you find yourself, because usually you work from home, right? So you're not in around other people where you have to also manage whatever they have going on. How did you find yourself like communicating to other people so that you were able to do what you needed to do?
So I had to have conversations with individuals that would come to the office and just start talking to me to be like, hey, so when I have my headphones on, I am not actively listening to the things that are outside of what's in my headphones. So if you want my attention, the best approach is to walk up to me and to like make eye contact for a couple of seconds for me to then look at you, to pause what I'm doing, and then for us to initiate a conversation after that. Because it was a thing of like, hey, Bianca, did you see? I didn't see nothing. I'm seeing what is on my screen right now. I don't know what else you're talking about or what's happening. I have my headphones on. I'm not trying to hear all the things that's happening out there. Actually, that's why I have these headphones on. These headphones are actually very, very nice noise canceling headphones, so I don't hear it. So if you want me to know, then come on, look at me, make eye contact, so then I can adjust the things that are happening in my environment, so then I can accommodate what you need to say and do. So like that's an example of the many things that I would have to do as it relates to dealing with other humans, being like, hey, so the best primary way to reach me is this. If you send a message through this, it's highly likely that I won't see it because I don't have notifications on this. So reach me here if you want more of a prompt response. And even just being like, I don't even want those type of high state prompt responses either. I know that that's unreasonable in some cases because I'm in IT and shit happens and shit breaks that I'm always on. But folks were like messaging me on Facebook Messenger to get in touch with me about, hey, okay, I deleted Facebook and Instagram from my phone. I still have Messenger, sure, but sending me things from these different spaces, I don't have access, nor do I want to at this moment. So, yeah.
How you feel like people received that? Because I don't know that people... Many people are in the habit of actively advocating for themselves and like actively saying, you know, this is the best way that you need to communicate with me. How do you feel like people responded? And was that easy for you to communicate? Was that a new skill or did that feel comfortable?
It depended on who it was. I think that's what made the comfortability part. I think that's kind of hard to explain a bit as I'm still unpacking that. Just like I remember being like with you, for example, you're like the best way for us to have time is like to have it on the calendar, have it on the schedule. Okay. So we have our check-ins every week on Wednesday at this time. And if there's something outside of that, I'll send it. I'm not expecting a response or a follow-up until I see you on next Wednesday, and just kind of archived it in that way. There have been other individuals that would reach out to me on Facebook Messenger to be like, hey, did you see X, Y, and Z going on? And being like, hey, so I'm currently doing this social media detox and I'm not necessarily engaging with all the things that are happening, in which in some of those conversations, it was like, yeah, I need to do that too. And in other conversations, it's like, well, how are you going to know what's going on if you're not online? So then I'm like, well, maybe I don't necessarily want to know what's happening. And so that was an interesting conversation. And again, these are different people, different experiences, all of that. Mm-hmm. With the work environment, it was more of like the response was, I like you telling me how to address you moving forward. It was more of a respect type of thing than anything. Like, thank you for being vulnerable and sharing what's going to work best for you. I because I respect you, I want to honor that. I appreciate your time and you being here, and I'm going to honor the things that you said. So there wasn't a lot of resistance to that, but it has been some resistance to people who I've worked closely with that they are used to having a lot of access to me that is no longer available. And I'm not able to just drop the things that I'm doing because, you know, there's an idea that came up that you need execution on, or I'm not necessarily accessible when there's some maintenance and some things that need to be done on a digital end for different things that you have going on that I actually might not necessarily have the capacity to do. Not that I don't want to, but just I got a lot of other things going on. And quite frankly, if you're not in my portal and if you're not in that ecosystem of the agency, there's not really a lot of things that I'm like, okay, I'm volunteering to do. I have enough on my plate to do. So I'm not proactively volunteering myself to do things anymore. And that has also been like, oh, I brought this up thinking that she would volunteer to do it. And then realizing, I actually am not, I'm actually not saying anything. And I have to be very intentional with how I break this up because it's important to know that I want to be available for people, but also at the same time, I've been very active going back to what I said at the very beginning of, with the intro. I have to protect my peace. I have to protect my heart. And while I want to be accessible to help different people with the different ventures that they have going on and the different ideas that they have, I'm so lockstep with the things that I have to do and the things that I am obligated to do. If we don't have no contract, no written agreement, if there's no terms of service, if there, none of that, like I'm sorry, but unless it's in black and white and there's some funds being exchanged or some type of bartering agreement that makes sense, I can't. I'm not volunteering myself in certain situations anymore. And that has been an interesting experience, being the person who would overextend, who would overshare, who would be the person who would always be the go-to person. And now I don't necessarily want to be the go-to person anymore. Find someone else to do it.
Yeah, that's why I was asking, because I think it's a beneficial, like it's a beneficial conversation for us to have, especially for our listeners who are trying to figure out what this looks like for them. You know, I can definitely say for myself, I shifted over into the live format for my podcast because I saw how much time that I was spending editing. And it's like, I have so many other things that I need to be doing. I cannot be doing this for this amount of hours. And so whenever we change the level of access that we are extending to other people, there comes feelings with that. You know, and those feelings might be, thank you for telling me. Those feelings might also be, what you mean? I'm used to you being here, being available, like jumping on this, and like you're not. So what do you mean? And when people don't have their own boundaries, it is very difficult for people to respect the boundaries that you are setting up for yourself. So I appreciate you kind of giving all of those examples because I feel like all of us can benefit from having those conversations, whether that be with ourselves or whether that be with other people that we're around, because the most important thing is to protect our peace. Period. And you already talked about how stress is a silent killer, and there's so much that we're carrying that some of it is self-inflicted. You know, like, so for myself, I was like, why am I stressing myself out trying to do all of this? I can do this a different way. Like, I don't have to do this way. Like, right. So that's self-inflicted. But then there are also times where people are expecting. And again, I want to be able to support. I want to be able to help. But also I have to honor my capacity right now. And that does not always work in somebody else's favor. You know, I am trying to do what I have to do for myself so that I can be present and available in different spaces and different times. But we have to be able to know that and have to be able to communicate that. So being able to recognize what's happening in my body, being able to recognize, you know, oh, wow, I feel, you know, tension, and I've been feeling tension and I have to do something about that. Or I'm not sleeping, or I haven't eaten, or like all of the things that we need to do for self-care that we sacrifice because the heart wants to be there for the other person, but in actuality, I just can't do that right now. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Anything else that you want to add to your transparency moments?
I just want to uplift that I'm in this season where my brain people are like really working in my favor.
Nice.
And I've had to learn and go through the process of knowing what works and stop trying to fit into molds or fitting into routines and things that I thought my brain people needed, and actually like mm-hmm. be intentional and actually listen to what my brain space is saying and honoring where my body and my capacity is. And when doing that, it has unlocked new levels of creativity and peace and abundance of being able to just get the things that I want because I set a goal and was able to do it. And I just want to uplift in this transparency moment for others that are listening, that are watching, that it is really important that you understand your giftings. And this is a great opportunity to segment the Discover Your Destiny commercial.
What if the thing you've always called too much was the exact thing God designed on purpose? This is for the ones who've always known they were different. Too sensitive, too loud, too knowing, too intuitive, too woo-woo. But what if your sensitivity is actually your superpower? What if your intuition was your inheritance? Discover Your Destiny is a 10-week sacred journey back to yourself. We explore the design of your soul, your spiritual gifts, and the unique way that God speaks to you. This isn't church. It's not a rule book. It's not a performance. It's the moment you stop chasing approval and start walking in divine alignment. You'll gain clarity, language, and confidence around who you are and what you are here on the earth to do. You'll learn the real voice of God. And if you feel called to go on to become a certified intuitive melanated life coach, this is where that path begins. There are two ways to enter this sacred container: the Destiny Track, full investments and coaching experience, or the Divine Exchange Track, where internship meets soul work. You'll support podcasting, content creation, or brand development behind the scenes while learning how your unique gifts benefit the collective. Your knowing isn't a flaw. It's the fingerprint of God. This is your invitation, and I hope that you'll answer.
Knowing your giftings, knowing who you are, knowing how God uniquely created you, knowing your brain space and what works for you, and stop thinking about what other people are doing and saying and just operating in your capacity and just being, is such a refreshing way of being. And I just want people to sit with that and to truly process, what are my giftings? How should I show up? Who is, in your words, like doing a battery analysis? Where is my battery at? Who recharges my battery? Who depletes from it? In my words of doing a village audit, who are those people that are pouring into you? Who are those people that give you anxiety every time that you see a pop-up of their name on your phone? Like, it is really, really important in this time and season, and particularly as we're talking about healing, to really be mindful of all of these deposits and these withdrawals that are happening, because we're all that we got and it's only one you. So the power of delegation, I have struggled with that skill, Kimberlyn. I have so many visions. And then when it's time to execute, I like stumble on who to give what, who to assign what, how am I able to manage all of that? And I must say, I'm being challenged in good ways to be able to release the stress and the load from me so that I'm able to give something to someone else that want to do it, that have the capacity to do it, so that they can do. And then I just provide my feedback and to be able to just have all the amazing things done. So On the agency side of things, I've been growing the team, and I'm really, really excited for that because it's been a long time coming. And with Teaching for the Culture, I must say that I've just been kind of just sitting, reflecting on, again, what advocacy is going to look like because of my most recent experience. So I'm going to make this story short so that I can honor time and also hear the things that you have going on too. I saw a post not too long ago, and it was an incident that happened at Navigator Academy. To give context, there was some issues and an investigation that Teaching for the Culture did with Navigator Academy to look at the climate and culture. I was interviewing educators, parents, and I sent them a letter, was deeply involved with just trying to see how we could help the school. Come to find out, it was a clear climate and culture issue that I feel personally, just speaking on behalf of me, not the organization, that the leadership at that school at that time did not want to address, that they just wanted to just continue business as usual and to just kind of move things up under the rug. And there was an issue that was recently posted on social media. And as a result of my previous investigation of Navigator Academy and being very vulnerable and sharing my findings and just writing about it, there were an influx, I say influx, of people that tagged me in the post. The post was in a group that was a community group that I was not in. But in that group, I was tagged by several people in the group. And then on top of that, I was then sent a screenshot of the post of the group that this was being said, and even screenshots of different people tagging my name to say, this is who you need to talk to. I reached out to the individual and I asked them for an interview, asked them to learn more information, to which they declined to have an interview. Okay. They indicated that there was a person that they wanted to connect me with. Okay. But I didn't hear anything after that. And at that moment, Kimberlyn, I felt just so compelled to just kind of reflect on the rapid response that I would do to some of these issues and if it was in alignment with my health and my peace, because I was very amped up as I saw that, again, there was something else that was happening at Navigator Academy. I had amplified and uplifted that the school was not being held accountable for the various serious things that were happening that at the expense harms children. And yet again, there's another incident at play. And I'm here trying to figure out who wants to talk about it to amplify the things. And then people don't want to talk. People don't actually want to move into action. So then it leads me to be like, so are y'all just posting these things just to post about what happened? Or are you looking for solutions? And then that's at that point, I realized that I have to take myself out of some of those situations, because regardless of what the intent was, the response was me having an elevated heart rate because of my previous experience with Navigator Academy and me being emotionally attached and charged in it. Two, I have now taken resources out of my day and time to reach out to these individuals that I don't know to ask if they want to do X, Y, and Z, to shift my calendar to provide them access to do X, Y, and Z, for then to not have any of that happen. And then here we are. The issue is still happening. No resolution. Don't know. Haven't had contact, nor am I going to spend time and capacity to even follow up on the matter. Because if they did want something to happen, they would have followed up with what I was asking for. It was very detailed as it relates to next steps and how to move forward. So as it relates to advocacy and it relates to Teaching for the Culture, and then just with everything that has happened with the organization, I've really had to kind of just take a step back, and I'm just really evaluating what that looks like. And because this is an organization that was made out of love and not necessarily something that was generating a bunch of revenue, it's like I actually need to really spend time to focus on the things that are generating revenue, because that will open the door for me to have more time and capacity to think about these things and how I want to structure that moving forward. So very deep in the work, wanting to advocate for children and caring. But I wanted to go to the school board meeting when I was there. But guess what? They changed the rules to where you have to be a resident of Hillsborough County to speak to the school board. Why? They had to create guidelines to say, hey, not everyone could come speak to us because y'all coming here doing some egregious stuff coming to speak to us. So you can only be a Hillsborough County resident if you are going to speak to the school board. I recognize and understand that, but just even me being like, okay, so this school board meeting is here. I'm gonna go here. I'm gonna say that. I care, and I'm not in the community anymore. There are certain individuals that have made it very clear that I'm not in the community mm-hmm. anymore, mm-hmm. and that's fine. I'm not worried about them, but I care about the children, the children that I made a promise to. One of my students that I posted that we had matching outfits one day just graduated and is now a sheriff with the Hillsborough County Sheriff's Office and sent me an invitation to their graduation that I couldn't go to because I was out the country. But just the mere fact that there was someone in my class that after all this time is now an officer protecting people and thought of me enough to be like, hey, you were one of my favorite teachers that helped me get to this moment. I want to share this with you, and has been keeping me up to date with their life. So I know the impact of the teacher is there. I know that my impact is where it needs to be. And life change and things happen and I no longer live there. And even when I did come to visit to even speak, I couldn't. And then feeling so defeated, but then understanding that that's their process, that's their new way of work, and now having to figure out what my new way of work is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I feel that super, super deeply. I definitely myself, I told you about it a couple of times where I was like, hey, you gonna have to let that go. And they gonna figure it out or they're not. And what that means, you know, because we went hard in the paint for Hillsborough County, for Tampa, for the Tampa Bay area. And there's a grief, I think, that comes along with that of, like you said, realizing you're not the go-to person, that your voice is not necessarily even welcome in certain spaces anymore, or your impact has decreased in a particular way or what have you. There is a lot of grief that comes with that. And if it's any solace or constellation, you are bigger than Hillsborough County. And the things and people and places that you are meant to impact is much larger than Hillsborough County. And while that is the birthplace, while that's where, you know, the advocacy kicked off and all of that, it's like it really was a launching pad for all of the other things that are supposed to happen and all of the other spaces globally that people are supposed to be impacted. But having said that, it's still kind of like, damn, I got kicked out of my house. Like, this is where I used to be. I'm coming home to visit. I'm still connected. And people are like, uh-uh, we don't want you here, or you don't belong here. You no longer have access. And there's definitely grief that comes along with that and processing that. So yeah, the comment here says it's a season, but I feel the grief. Yeah, like it's a lot to process. And I think that looks different for many of us, you know, as we're listening. Y'all might be listening and saying to yourself, you no longer feel connected to certain spaces, certain people, certain processes. And that is by design. And one of the reasons why it is so important to understand our spiritual gifts and understand our role within those gifts is so that we are okay to shift and transition when it's time for us to shift and transition. Transition, because it's not always our job is not always to stay and do the day-to-day work. Sometimes the job is to set up the system so that people are able to operate, and then you move on and you set up a system somewhere else, right? So we have to know that, because otherwise we stay too long. And when you stay too long, there is harm that comes from that for oneself. And there is a delay of what we're actually supposed to be doing and who we're actually called to, because I'm trying to hold on to this that is familiar and comfortable and I have a connection to it, but also this has expanded. past this and beyond that is how I even feel about New Orleans and, you know, being from New Orleans and wanting to make a difference in New Orleans, but also knowing I'm not supposed to be there. Like, I'm not supposed to be working at a school in New Orleans. Like, that's not what my life is planned for. But how can I, through the global work that I do, still impact what's happening there? So for me, that looks like partnering with people that are in New Orleans. Like, okay, so let me partner with the folks that are there that are doing the work on the ground there. And then I can exist in this space of opening avenues, having a platform, what have you, but I'm not about to be in New Orleans on the ground coming to the school board meeting, talking like I'm not, that's not my role. So to your point of figuring out what advocacy looks like, I'm glad that you're here because I've been asking you that question for a very long time, just because I see, you know, the way that people depend on you, but then in the same token, they're depending on you, but also trying to push you out in a way, you know, so it's like, we have to do that acceptance at some point of, okay, so I hear that my voice no longer is being honored in this space, or I hear that access is closed here. So what does that look like for me to transition? So I'm looking forward to where you land with that. I know Teaching for the Culture is, again, much bigger than Hillsborough County. It's much bigger than Florida. It's much bigger than the U.S. So I'm excited to see what the next iteration is going to look like. And I just urge you to take your time in figuring that out. You're not on anybody's clock, you know, and I'm glad you're releasing yourself from the immediacy of the things. Like, I'm not accessible in this way anymore. Not so. If you all want to have access to this, these are the channels to be able to go through that. And then also empowering people to do their own work. You know, a lot of times you were used as a scapegoat for what was going on, what was wrong, why something was happening, why something wasn't happening. And, you know, Bianca done said and she did it, but now Bianca ain't there no more. So now what? Now whose responsibility? Now who's speaking up for these children that y'all claim that y'all care about? Like, now what does that look like? But then you trusting that you have planted the seeds and you've done the work and you've left the breadcrumbs, they can go back and watch the videos. They can go back and look at the resources. They can do that work. You cannot be the sacrificial lamb for all of that, you know? And I'm talking specifically to you, but I'm talking to all of y'all that's listening and all of us that are listening. The comment here says in the chat, losing self, neglecting self, we take on too much. Know when to walk away. Know when to say, okay, I'm feeling my leg bouncing a whole lot. And I realize that that is an indicator of feeling stress. I cannot continue putting myself in this position because, God forbid, something happened. Ain't none of them people that's been sitting up here demanding and calling and asking and all of that, ain't none of them people coming to the rescue. They're not checking. They're not doing nothing, right? So we have to look out for self. We have to get off the sacrificial table. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Okay.
That's where we need the church organ. And this is a great time to go ahead and to collect offering. So just go ahead and subscribe to our different ventures that we have going on. I'll make sure that the links are in the description of the videos so that you could subscribe and to follow along on all of it, because it is a lot. It is a lot for sure.
Yeah. So let me quickly give my transparency moment, because I do want us to be able to get into our discussion today, which kind of goes into what we're talking about needing to make some choices and some decisions. But basically, I have been deep in preparing for the next cohort of Discover Your Destiny and Found Her Future Collective. we've reviewed applications and sent out acceptance emails and sent out calendar invites. And we have orientation on Saturday for the folks that are coming through Founder Future internship. And then Discover Your Destiny, the application window is going to be open a little bit longer till the end of the month to be a part of Discover Your Destiny. For those who are not taking the Divine Exchange track and actually just being a part of the Discover Your Destiny cohort. But that is always exciting for me because it's a time for me to go back and reestablish and reground my own self in all the things that I know that we might not actively be doing within practice. You know, we know a lot of things about what we're supposed to do, but that don't always translate. So every time I have the opportunity to take people on the Discover Your Destiny journey, it's a reminder for me to go back, remember my spiritual gifts, remember the uses and misuses of my spiritual gifts, remember the impact that I want to make and expand that impact and set the goals for that, and then think about what boundaries I need to put up and what self-care looks like in this season. So I'm really excited about this cohort, and I really do feel that God is bringing and aligning the people that are supposed to be connected to the universe and the ecosystem and the healing work that is being done. I talk about all the time, specifically through IMLC, which is Intuitive Melanated Life Coaching, where people are able to get their life coach certification, that we're called to so many different areas, right? All of us have a role that we are supposed to be walking in this revolution. And again, I don't know if we've accepted this, but there's an active revolution that is happening right now. And we have a job. All of us have a job. We have a calling. We have a role that we're supposed to do. So like Bianca talks about being an IT person. We got to de-Google-fy and, you know, down with big tech. And like, there's so many things that we have to do to be able to be safe and secure in these spaces to do the work that we're called to do. We got to have websites. We got to have digital hygiene. We got to have like all these things in place, right? That is different, for instance, than my aunt who is certifying people in CPR and ensuring that there are life-saving measures that are in place, right? That's a very different lane, but still important, right? For myself, my area of expertise, if you will, is in helping people to understand what that looks like and what that sounds like. So that is my unique role. Again, like I mentioned earlier, I'm not on the front lines. I'm not going to be in New Orleans. I'm not finna be in Tampa. I'm not there. But I am training people and equipping people so that they understand how to walk in their calling in whoever the people are that they're called to. So I'm excited about Discover Your Destiny, and I'm really looking forward to how I'm going to grow during this 10-week process, and then what it will look like on the other side of it with the work that we're doing with the interns and working with Shekinah and getting systems in place to be able to support this. Shekinah asked me the other day, she was like, where do you see Kimberlyn Jackson Universe and Discover Your Destiny in the next 10 to 20 years? And I was like, whoa, I didn't expect 10 to 20. Like, I thought we was going to do a 3 to 5 situation, you know, but 10 to 20 years from now, I want this to be automated. I want people to be able to know, hey, I need to understand my destiny and my purpose. I need to understand my spiritual gifts. That Kimberlyn lady, she does that. Let me go on over there and get hooked up to that, where I am able to sit in a space of consulting and supporting and being the driving force behind things and not really having to be the face of what is happening. So I'm excited now because I know now I'm putting the infrastructure in place for that to happen. and equipping more people to be able to show up in their callings and their giftings. So I'm really excited about that. And I am working on stabilizing myself. When you ask what advocacy looks like for you right now, for me, I have had to tap out of a lot of conversations about a lot of different things, and even having conversations with people like somebody sent me something the other day, and it was police officers doing something. And I was like, I don't need you to send any video about the police. I don't find it funny. I don't find it comical. I don't want to see that. And being able to say that without wondering how they're going to receive it and like all of that. Like, this is something for my mental health that I'm not with the system. Like, I'm not with it at all. So you don't need to try to send me nothing. Nope. I don't need to see it. And then, you know, actively backing off and out of the different social spaces. Now, I will say this past week, I was on the internet because it was my birthday. And I wanted to see, I was very curious in how the algorithm was going to pull up people that I haven't had interactions with in a very long time, particularly on Facebook. And so birthdays is a time where people kind of come out the woodworks. And it's like, I ain't seen you in a minute around these parts. So I was happy for that, because now I can go back and make intentional connections with the people that I've been needing to make connections with, because your girl is coming up from off of Facebook and from off of Meta, period. So I was looking the other day at like the Meta Business Suite and all of that, where I don't have to be on the app and I can schedule the things out that I need to have scheduled out, and whoever is over there that they see it. And then, hey, this is where y'all gonna find me over in the archive. That's where you need to come to connect with me. But I cannot actively be in those spaces anymore. Like, I am literally watching things happen. This morning, when I was doing the chat with the Patreon, I was telling them about Spike Lee had gone to the NBA All-Star game, and he wore a sweater that was inspired by Palestine, the Palestinian flag, and I think it's called the keffiyeh, the black and white scarf that they wear. So his sweater was an homage of that. Sure enough, that maybe happened. What's today? Wednesday? Let's say that was Sunday or Monday. Yesterday, he puts out a statement saying how he's not against Israel. He's not against the Israeli player. He was supporting Palestine. But like, why did he have to make a statement about supporting Palestine? Because people left and right are being silenced who are speaking out against the things that Israel is doing. And so when I see stuff like that, it just makes me that much more hyper aware that social media is very compromised and it's not a safe place to really be. And they are actively locking it down and actively silencing people and actively targeting people. So for myself, that's been looking like, okay, Kim, so where's going to be your space? Where's your corner of the world that you're going to be able to educate people, support people, give people the resources that they need without having to fight against this algorithm that don't want me talking about nothing that needs to be talked about? So that's kind of what I've been focusing on and thinking about what that looks like and sounds like. So while there was still, quote unquote, be a presence per se on social media, I am not going to actively be on there. So I am figuring that out. Like, what does advocacy look like outside of these spaces? What does advocacy look like in the freedom of what needs to actually be discussed, and where are those things, where are those conversations taking place, and where are the people that need to hear those things? So that's kind of what's been going on in my world.
Yes, indeed. Yeah, I feel and resonate with unplugging and not always being on and picking and choosing the conversations. What has your screen time been like?
Well, this past week, I was on this phone. I was on this phone because for my birthday, I didn't do a lot. Like I wanted to not have to do, like I wanted to not have to do anything. Like whatever I choose to do, I'm doing it because I want to do it. And mm-hmm. one of the things that I wanted to do was kind of catch up on some things that were happening in the world, and not like from the political standpoint, but like what's happening out here in the pop culture world, kind of. Mm-hmm. And how are people showing up in different spaces and stuff. So, honey, I was a scrolling. Oh, I was scrolling. I don't scroll too often, but I was scrolling. So this past week is definitely not a great indicator of what screen time should look like. But also, I had planned my letter that I'm writing on Facebook to basically be like, so, hey, listen, we have come to a close here on this here place. And if you want to stay in touch with me, this is where I'm going to be. This is how you can contact me. Other than that, it's been nice. I appreciate y'all. It's been lovely. I've been here. I've been on Facebook since 2009. Amen. And also, we're done. We are. It's compromised, y'all. We got to call it. Like, we got to call it. It's a lot that's happening there. But yeah. The screen time and social media deactivation was not necessarily present this past week. That was very much, let me see who's here. Let me see who has been unearthed. Let me like make some connections, because that is one of the things I had talked about on So You Don't Put Syrup on Your Grilled Cheese, that I had a personal reading from Tony. And one of the questions was like, what habit have I developed to get me to my destination? And it was synchronization. And that is what my instructions are right now, is to find those people that just got unearthed, connect with them intentionally so we can figure out how to work offline, because there's some work that needs to be done. So while I was not pleased with my screen time numbers and such, I do know that it was with purpose, because now I know and remember the people that I need to connect to move over to this next spot. So I gave myself grace in that, you know. Yeah.
Good job. I'm proud of you. It's literally like work of like being mindful of how you're using your phone and not just judging yourself based on the numbers and always wanting the numbers to go down, because there are going to be cases where the numbers are what they are because of what is actually happening. The main point is actually being in control and not letting it control you, which is the whole point of the whole experiment. When we come back in 2 weeks, it will almost be a month since we've had the discussion. So I would really love for us to dive deep into the numbers then, and even encouraging our viewers that if you haven't downloaded the free resource, it is on wehealthatshit.com. You can download a free tracker for you to log your screen time, log those numbers, so that you are aware of how you're using your device, not in the sense of judgment, but just so that you can recognize the patterns and then decide what decisions you're going to make after analyzing those patterns. So just thank you for your vulnerability and all of that. And yeah, girl, how had the hotline been celebrating your birthday and all of that good stuff? Like, what did that look like for you?
Well, it's interesting because we're also in this Mercury retrograde shadow period right now. And one of the things with Mercury retrograde is that people get dug up from the past, and now here they come trying to reconnect and stuff. So that's been interesting. I was sharing this morning in the chat with the Patreon that I had 4 marriage proposals this past week. Get out of here, folks, all of you. Go away.
It If I had a sound effect that said "Take me out to the ball game," I would play that because that is what is needed right now. Take me out to the ball game, girl. Four. They say you got it like that, honey. They got you.
Child, I'm not moved by none of that at all. Like, not even a little bit.
Yes,
I'm just like, what makes you feel like, what makes you think that that's what you want to do? Tell me that. Tell me why you think that's what you think that that's what you want to do. Because it's definitely lust filled. It's definitely not like we know each other so deep and we finna bond. Get the hell out of here with all of that. So it was a lot of that. It was a lot of folks that I haven't talked to in a while, you know, trying to reconnect and rekindle and try to kindle some that wasn't ever kindled. And it was interesting. It was an interesting time. But the majority of the time I spent relaxing and I watched Bridgerton. And I made one of my favorite meals and I listened to music and I was chilling. That's what I wanted to do, is to just chill and just be. So I was very excited for that and just trying to figure out what 45 looks like and sounds like and what I want that to be. So we'll see. I don't know yet. You know, I don't necessarily feel any older, but I do feel that there is a shift that is happening and that something is going to happen by the end of this month. I don't know what that something is, but I'm open for whatever that looks like and just letting God do what God is doing. I'm just big, like, what are my instructions? Let me focus on that. And then you just do whatever you need to do, God. So yeah, so that's kind of been the biggest thing. Now, one of the things I did, not for my birthday, but in preparation for my birthday, was watched the Super Bowl halftime, which was Bad Bunny. And if you all have been following or listening to me, you know I really appreciate Bad Bunny, his advocacy, his activism, and I really, really enjoyed this last album that he had, De Mi Tira Mas Fotos, and I love it from top to bottom. I listen to it all the time. The Tiny Desk is one of my favoritest Tiny Desks that I listen to, and he did the Super Bowl halftime show, and there were a lot of thoughts and opinions that came about because of that halftime show, which his performance, did you ever have a chance to watch it? Not yet. His performance was filled with a lot of symbolism. It was in Spanish, minus Lady Gaga. But his performance was filled with a lot of symbolism, and it was a really good time. But one of the things that came out in the discussions of it is the fact that the NFL is a part of the system. And I personally cannot watch. I used to be a really big football fan. So I'm from New Orleans and the Saints are our team. And historically, I'm watching the game. But I have not watched a football game probably since, definitely since I left in 2021. But even before then, I feel like I really wasn't watching because when Colin Kaepernick had, when we were boycotting because of that, like, so I kind of just fell off of it because the NFL is a part of the system. Well, the last time that I tuned in, it might have been last year, I had tuned in early to get ready for Kendrick Lamar, and it was giving big, like, plantation vibes. Like, it really is giving the white folks in the stands and in the skyboxes are watching the black people on the field, the majority black people, beat each other up. Like, it just really gives plantation vibes for me, and it's a lot, and it's hard to watch. I already mentioned earlier about the NBA and Spike Lee and LeBron James. I don't know if you heard him. They asked him about his thoughts about Israel And he was like, I've never heard anything negative about the place. And like, it's just a lot that's going on in that arena, right? So because of that, a lot of folks were saying Bad Bunny, with his history of activism, should not have done the Super Bowl. And so we wanted to play y'all a clip from Amanda Seales and a video. So she made a couple reels or videos after the Super Bowl, but from a couple different points of view, if you will. So we want to play one and then kind of unpack it a little bit and talk about what this brings up for you all as well. So let me get this shared. All right, here we go.
Knowledge. There's a lot of folks that say two things can be true at one time. But that's part of the problem. We have reached an inflection point where no, we can't have it both ways. You can't at the same time say this is a really good thing because I enjoyed myself, even though it's couched in a really bad thing. You can't say this country has the right to exist while it is simultaneously preventing an entire people from existing. You can't say all presidents are terrible except for Obama. So we're going to have to make hard decisions. We're going to have to lose things. We're going to have to understand that making a choice and taking a hard stance is the actual win. But, you know, we don't want to do that. I have my own versions of these as well. However, when I see this whole, like, but we can have, no, we can't. And the sooner that we can, at least those of us who want to save the earth, those of us who want to dismantle the Zionist Jesuit entities that are running it. At some point, we're going to have to make hard communal choices that not everybody's going to be happy about. So I want you to ask yourself, what is something that you have played both sides of? And I just want you to be honest with yourself. Like, I can say that for me, I have absolutely played both sides of entertainment content. Like, I know that Disney and Netflix and all these places are terrible. And then I'm also like, yeah, but Andor. And I am getting closer and closer to that hard line. Because the real reality of things is in my goddamn face. And the lie that we'll tell ourselves is, well, I mean, I'm just one person. I mean, it's like, if I don't do it, like, what does it matter? It should matter just to you. That hard line has to matter simply to you. And the hard line is not a horizon. It's hypocrisy, which I do not get down with.
So that made me think about what we have to sacrifice and what we are willing to sacrifice. And again, to Amanda's direct question, like, what are things that we play both sides on? And for myself, a few things came up. So one, it was AI. And it's becoming every single day more difficult for me to engage and utilize the AI because I'm aware of the impacts that it's having, not just on the planet, but specifically in Black communities, that AI data centers are in these communities, that the air is being polluted, that the drinking water is being polluted, that a lot of resources are being used in order to fuel these AI super centers. Amazon is something else for myself, which granted, not being in the U.S., I don't have access to Prime and all that kind of stuff. But Amazon is like the most reliable shipping source to be able to get certain things. But do I actually need those things from Amazon, or can I do the actual footwork to find the stuff here in the country that I am in, so I'm not supporting Jeff Bezos, who I don't support, right? Still being on social media apps and being on Meta. I know that Meta is actively involved in so much harm that has been caused. But then also I'm like, but people are on social media and I need to get the word out. So like, what does that look like? So I'm curious, what came up for you as you were listening and some of the lines or spaces that you see for yourself?
It's like subscribing to all of these things that we don't necessarily need. I said that I wanted my life to look a certain way, and I've had to unsubscribe from a lot of those things. I was like, I want to be able to make X amount of money, and this is how much money I want to make. And it's like, sure, that sounds good, but like, now I'm more concerned about what's my impact and how am I helping others? Am I like making sure that my bare necessities are taken care of? Like, how am I able to use that to give back to? A lot of her advocacy work has really inspired me, as much as there's been a lot of blowback with her advocacy and how she shows up. I really appreciate her consistency nonetheless. Even when she has to go on hiatuses and takes breaks for a myriad of different reasons, as we've talked about our own breaks, the message is consistent. Like, you can't just make these things just magically work, knowing that the powers at play and the people that are doing the things are actively causing harm. And you have to speak truth to power, whatever that might look like for you. And you got to find a lane, whatever lane that you're in, operate that and do that.
Yeah. So I want to pose some questions to us, and not necessarily to answer right now in this moment, but just some things to think about how we are showing up. And again, every day as we are practicing radical acceptance and thinking about what our role is and how we show up in different spaces. I do want to say that one of my favorite quotes is from myself, and is, every step in the right direction is a step in the right direction, no matter how small. I do think that everything that we are doing to move closer to full divestment counts. So I don't want us to forsake the individual things that we are doing and can do as if they don't matter, because we do have influence and we do have the ability to impact people that are in our circles. And even if nobody in your circle decides to go along with the movement, you, though, are making a hard stand for yourself. So to the question that's been asked a few times, like where the line is, we have to know those lines for ourselves. One of the questions that I asked, so what are you willing to sacrifice? So where are we in our process of releasing capitalism and materialism? Being very aware that capitalism is the reason that the United States is crumbling, that the earth is in the situation that it's in, people prioritizing money over anything else. So are you still trying to be a millionaire and billionaire? Is that what you're seeing as success? Or are you thinking about impact and how you can do things with intention? Are we still collecting things just to have things just because I can? Or am I being intentional with the things that I am purchasing and how those things are being constructed and what that looks like for how I'm going to utilize them? What are the things that we can do when we feel helpless in the face of a system? So I want to go through a few of those things. The first thing is that we can start working on our mindset. It starts in the mind. Everything is about understanding what is happening and then conditioning our mind to make different choices. So what conversations are we having in our circles? What radical acceptances are we embracing and practicing and moving ourselves toward? Again, we're not asking for leaps, right? But we do need to be making steps in this direction because things are crumbling and it's no longer going to be a space where we're going to be able to ride the fence, right? We're going to have to make a choice. When we're thinking about community building, what are the skills that you can leverage outside of the system? So like earlier, I mentioned Bianca is in technology. I mentioned my aunt does CPR certification. Maybe you know how to grow food. Maybe you're in construction. Maybe you're in childcare, teaching, transportation, and infrastructure. What skills do you have that you can use to work outside of the system to support the infrastructure that we need to get in place to be able to support ourselves? And then the biggest question, I think, and this is Bianca's question that she asks people all across the world, what does freedom and fulfillment mean to you in this current context of radical acceptance? What does that look like for you? How are you incorporating joy? Where does peace live in the middle of everything? And how are you protecting your brain space and what types of information you're taking in, what types of inputs that you're receiving, and what types of things that you are putting out to others, and how you are also encouraging them to embrace joy and embrace healing and embrace peace? So I know that was a lot of questions. Go back and replay that part. But this really is the time for us to be asking ourselves, okay, now, what stand am I going to take in everything that's happening? And what are the small things that I need to be doing to move myself towards a place of productively divesting from the systems that have kept us all bound? And we know that it is an unlearning process. We know that it's also not comfortable and it's not convenient, right? It's not convenient to not be able to call Amazon or go on Amazon Prime right quick and get something the next day or 2 days from now. Like, that's not convenient. But in the grand scheme of things, is it more impactful for me to divest myself from this harmful institution that is going to continue to harm people? Or am I more concerned with getting what I want when I want it? And if I am more concerned with getting what I want when I want it, what is the work that I need to do internally to release that expectation of immediate fulfillment for whatever need that there is that I feel like I need it now and I want it? And you actually probably don't need it now. It's actually more wants. So how do we get ourselves out of that space and thinking about the long-term impact on the planet, on our community, and on ourselves? All right. So we'll put those questions into the description so that you have a place to be able to start. We would love for you to share with us in the comments what this looks like for you, remembering that every step in the right direction is a step in the right direction, no matter how small. So even if your response is, I am reducing my screen time on a particular app because I don't want to participate in that, that counts. That counts. So forsake not those things that may seem small. Anything else that you wanted to add to that before we get out of here?
Just wanted to uplift that you have your gifting. So circling back to discover your destiny, knowing what your giftings are is very, very vital in this space, in this season. And that's ground zero of you creating the life that you want and finding your freedom and fulfillment. I ask that question often, but a lot of people don't even know themselves to truly even answer the question. So then they look to me to say, I hope I answered it right, to then which I follow up and say, your answer is the right answer. So I hope that that sits right with you. So as you reflect on these questions, like, think about where you are. And be honest about that, because just like lying to a therapist does no good, neither does continuing to lie to yourself too.
Woo! Hot shit. All right. So, yeah. We'll be looking forward to those comments and those things as you all explore that and think about what it looks like for you to move yourself closer to a place of radical acceptance and showing up in a way that will be able to give maximum impact with minimal damage. All right. So again, we want y'all to make sure that you are connected. If you have not already subscribed to the page, please subscribe to the YouTube page. If you are listening to us on the podcast platforms, please do leave us a review about what you are getting here from this space. We also invite you to go over to WeHealThatShit.com so that you will be able to download the digital tracker, as we'll talk about next show, and get the resources and book lists and all the things that we have there. We also have a playlist over there. So if you go to WeHealThatShit.com/playlist, you will be able to access those songs that we have and are curating to be able to help us to take this healing journey. You know, we're doing this together. Okay. We know it's a process. Okay. And we on this road with you. All right. So we don't want y'all to be like, they got it all figured out, and don't. Currently trying to figure it out with you. And to Bianca's point, freedom and fulfillment looks different for each of us, right? So my response and my plan and my answer is mine. Your response, your plan, and your answer is yours, all right? So we encourage you to tap into what you need for your spirit to feel most grounded. So I guess we tell the people where they can find you so we can roll up from out of here.
Okay, well, I must say, I've been waiting to hit that button for a minute now. It was necessary. You can find me on my website at www.biancagoolsby.com. On my website, you will see all the different ventures that I'm a part of, my blog, subscribe, all the links are there. The way that you can contact me is a very simple, easy process. You just got to follow the instructions and do it with intention. Where can the people find you?
So if y'all go over to KimberlynJackson.com, you'll be able to see all of the links there for Discover Your Destiny as well. If you want to go directly to the website, is dyd25.com. I also invite you all to come over and hang out with us in the archive as we are building community and getting the infrastructure in place to be able to disseminate information. So if you go to patreon.com/mindingmyblackassbusiness, you can do a 7-day free trial if you join through the inner circle, or you can join for $5 a month. If you cannot afford that, please at least join the free version so that you can get the notifications, so you'll know when it's necessary for you to tap in. All right. All right. I think that's it. That's all, y'all. We'll be back in 2 weeks. So what is that date going to be? That's going to be March 7th. March 7th. So we'll be back with our next episode on March 7th. In the meantime, go back and watch the other things. Go download the digital tracker so you can join us in this detox journey. And leave us a comment, all right? Even if that comment is just a heart with the bandage wrapped around it saying, I was here, leave us the comment so that we know that you are here, you're with us, and you're a part of this community.
Yes, indeed. Well, that's the show, folks. I hope that you enjoyed. And for those of you that are watching us live, thank you for being a part and joining us as we do this. And for those that are watching the premiere or the replay, we also thank you equally for being here and being in this space, because together we are committed to doing the work to heal. So,
bye, y'all.
Bye. Heal that shit.